Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
About the Holy Spirit today. We've been going in this series, and the last 5 weeks we've dissected the Lord's Prayer. We've went line by line through the Lord's Prayer and what it means for us, what it means personally to the believer, and we're learning how to approach God and receive power. And so through the 5 weeks of the Lord's Prayer, we've really been learning this is what it looks like in a heart posture form on how to approach the Lord. Jesus teaches us very exclusively, if you will. He gives us direct words of when you pray, you ought to pray this way. And we've talked about how that didn't necessarily mean that these are the exact words you need to repeat, and you need to go through this pattern, and whenever you pray these exact words, then everything's going to work just perfectly. It's not a formula that creates and twists God's arm. No, it is a posture that we surrender to so that we can see the power of God manifested within our life. So prayer is a posture. Jesus wasn't just handing a script to his disciples and saying, hey, why don't you repeat this? When you pray, you ought to pray this way. Our Father out in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wasn't saying that. He was teaching a posture. We talked a little bit about this inside the series, that oftentimes when you read the teachings of Jesus, Jesus is always addressing heart even over what is on the outside. Because if Jesus can speak to your heart, Scripture says this, out of the abundance of the what? Thank you. The abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. So Jesus recognizes and knows that if I can change hearts, I can change confession. If I can speak to hearts and let that be changed, well, then I can direct their paths. I can bring forth alignment that is holy and in alignment with what God the Father desires. So Jesus is always addressing the heart. So even in this prayer, our Father, that taught us relationship. We recognize him as Father. Hallowed be your name. That means his name is holy. It teaches us reverence. Your kingdom come, your will be done, teaches us how to surrender. Give us this day our daily bread, teaches us our daily dependence, that we're not dependent upon ourselves or even from man. We are dependent on the Father, and the Father of every good and perfect thing comes from the Father, is what Scripture says. So we fully lean into that, say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. That teaches us to, we got to release some things. You got to surrender some things. Say, no, I don't have control over this. Lord, forgive us our debts, and I'm going to forgive others as well. And then it goes on, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That taught us how to look to the Lord as our guidance and humility. Humility, the shepherd, right? We talked about last week about the voice of the good shepherd, knowing the voice of the good shepherd for leadership within our life. And here's the problem, is that if we're not careful, we will reduce prayer to something far smaller than what Jesus intended it to be. We will reduce it to understand when I say this, we'll reduce prayer to a complaint card. We'll reduce prayer to a Christmas list. Some of y'all use, y'all look at Jesus like Santa. Lord, on this, I want a Tesla, and I want a 9,000 square foot mansion. And Lord, whenever, I want my bank account to be $3.7 million plus. And we start treating Jesus in our prayers like a magic wand or a genie in a bottle or any of these things. And that is not what prayer is. We often will make prayer, if it's not that, then we make it about survival. Those desperate prayers, Lord, just help me make it. Lord, help me get out of this or get through this. Lord, help me stay sane. Help me not lose my mind. Trust me, I've prayed those same prayers, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with lamenting to the Lord. We've talked about that a lot in our church, that lamenting is a real thing. There's a whole book of the Bible, Lamentations, it's all about lamenting. So sometimes there is lamenting prayers that happen, yes, but this is the thing about the Lord. If you read the fullness of the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't end with just give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. And it doesn't end with problems. It ends with a recognition of who God is. It says, now then yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Amen. Whenever you read the fullness of the Lord's Prayer, that is how it ends in Matthew 6:13. So Jesus doesn't teach us to end prayer with our, oh no, everything's going bad. He doesn't teach us to end our prayers with, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme. He teaches us this is how the prayer ends. It's an acknowledgement of who God is, just like you acknowledged him in the beginning as Father. By the end of it, you're acknowledging him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, stronger than everything is. That's why it says, yours is the kingdom, meaning that whatever I'm facing on this earth, yours is the kingdom that is over all of that. Yours is the power. So I may have weakness and people around me may have weakness, but you have all power. Yours is the power and yours is the glory, meaning no matter what comes, when I overcome the kingdoms of this world, whenever I overcome, whenever I receive power, well, you ultimately get all the glory because it's not by my might, not by my power, but by your Spirit is the way that I will see the other side. So Jesus teaches us this. Write this down. Media, you have to go down a few slides. Jesus teaches us not to finish prayer overwhelmed by our weakness, but overwhelmed by his greatness. Not to just look at how bad and how weak we feel, but rather in awe and wonder of how great God is and how he can bring us out of whatever we're in. It's interesting that the Lord's Prayer starts with Father and ends with King. I find that interesting because some of us in prayer are still staring at the problem, and Jesus teaches us to end the prayer staring at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as I was sitting with that this week, and I'm thinking about Pentecost Sunday, I started thinking about this, that the Lord's Prayer teaches us how to approach heaven. Pentecost shows us what happens when heaven responds. The Lord's Prayer teaches the disciples, this is how you approach heaven. But then Pentecost shows us this is what happens whenever heaven responds to the proper posture of prayer. We've talked in this series, it's called Access, and what we're learning is how to approach God. That's the Lord's Prayer, the posture, heart posture. And then receive power, which power comes from one place, the power of the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, we're going to talk about this today, that heaven responds with the power of the Spirit. Because Pentecost is not some disconnected church holiday where all we're going to do is talk about fire. I don't know about you, but I know growing up in a Pentecostal, charismatic, prophetic church, the style of church that we believe. Listen, we believe in the day of Pentecost. That's why I'm preaching about it today. I'm going to weird some of y'all out in a minute when I start praying in tongues. But we believe in the day of Pentecost. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the manifestation gifts of the Spirit being evident and operating in the church. I believe that we need the gifts of the Spirit in order to fulfill what God wants to do, yes, even in 2026. And I think as soon as we start thinking we don't need, whoo, I'm going to preach something, this is good. I think that whenever we believe that we don't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore, then we are rejecting the power of His Spirit completely. When we think that we can do all this, I didn't go in this at 9 a.m. When we think that we can have church and tell the Holy Spirit you wait at the door, we have missed it. We have created concerts. We have created fun gatherings. We have created a country club of feeling good about ourselves. I'm gonna be real bold. In some church circles, we have created a place where pride can actually where pride can bubble up within us even greater than humility and compassion for those that are lost. Because we sit in here in an air-conditioned building in the four walls of a church hearing the gospel thinking, well, I showed up to church this Sunday, I'm doing really good. Now, however, the person down the road, they're not at church and they're at the bar right now. They're a long-gone heathen far from the Lord. Hear me today. When we start coming to church with that mindset, what we do is we start actually dehumanizing people and we miss the purpose that's on their life because we're too focused on ourselves, and because we're in a church, we think we got everything together. But the truth is this, you can be in church and be far off from God. Woo! Put some swag on that. You can be in the four walls of a church and know nothing about the moving of the Spirit, know nothing about the power, but yeah, you know Jesus, and that's great. You've heard Jesus, that's great. But how do you show Jesus if you don't have His Spirit living and dwelling within you? Well, let's talk about it. In churches all around the world right now, praise breaks are going to happen today. Nothing wrong with them. I enjoy a good praise break. Amen. People are going to shout, hoop, and holler in churches because it's Pentecost. Praise God. I'm excited about it. There will probably be a Jericho march somewhere in the United States today. Anybody grew up in church of the Jericho marches? Mm-hmm. Nobody else? All right. Let me let you in on something. Some church lore. I believe in prophetic acts. I believe in listening to the Spirit of the Lord. We do prophetic activations and things like that. I believe there are times where the Lord calls us to move and do certain things in service. But there are some churches that will do it just because they like the song. And all of a sudden, somebody will just decide, it's time to Jericho march. And they'll start marching around while those songs going on. And this huge conga line. It's the worship conga line, friends. The worship conga line starts. And da, 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 ha! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I'm just like, just please don't let the walls fall down. I don't want that to happen. Jericho march. But there are things like that will happen in churches all throughout the U.S. today. I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with any of that. Once again, I believe there is times and moments for these things. However, whenever we call that, or that is the litmus test of the moving of His Spirit, we miss the moving of His Spirit. We deduce the Holy Spirit to only being an emotional experience. We bring the Holy Spirit to this thing that's only if the song that we like is playing, only if, and I know in the Pentecostal church, my dad used to talk about this. Anybody grow up in like in Pentecostal church? I'm talking about no hair, no make. No, listen, I'm thankful for these people. Some of these people are some of the most genuine Christians you will ever meet in your life, and they got the hair, no makeup, but the nicest clothes you will ever see on. I've seen some Pentecostal guys. I'm like, that suit is drippy. It is nice. Anyways, that's a sidebar. But I can go a whole other route with that, and I won't right now. Follow me for a second. Some of the most genuine Christians you'll ever meet. However, we, as ambassadors of Christ, joint heirs to the kingdom, we don't have to wait for an unction to function if the Spirit is living and dwelling within you, okay? The Spirit gives us the strength and the utterance, if you will. We'll talk about that in a minute. The utterance to begin to speak in other tongues. And I'm going to talk on some of that today. If you've never been in a church that's talked about praying in tongues, just buckle up. Get ready. It is still biblical. And I don't want you to get too scared, because I promise you everything that I'm going to say today is going to come straight from the Bible. If you have different viewpoints, you've heard differently or whatever, can I just ask you just for the next 30 minutes or so to just lean in and listen with an open heart and open mind to receive from Scripture. Some of us are standing on religious beliefs based off what our grandpa told us. Okay. And what's interesting is some, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that in a condemning way. I'm saying that, and sometimes we receive things without even looking into things. There's actually a whole psychology to it, and I can't get into it this morning because I don't have time, where if I say the same thing enough times, and I am in some form of leadership in your life, if I just say the same thing and I stay consistent in that enough, I can actually get you to believe and act accordingly to what I'm saying, because you honor the leadership, and it sounds right, right? And if you don't go check it for yourself ever, you'll just go along with it. What I want to give you today is this is not for me. This is straight from Scripture. Everything we're going to talk about this, and yes, even the questions that you already brought and you're already writing down, well, then why? Or I read one Scripture where it says there has to be interpretation. We'll tackle that in just a minute. Well, my grandpa told me, or my grandma said, Bobby Boucher, tongues are the devil. Okay? No, okay. I'm going to address that in just a second. All right, we'll get there. Just stay with me for a little bit. Because we want to kind of gently make our way into the power of the Spirit, if you will, for a second. So we talked a little bit about how Pentecost is not just some disconnected church holiday. We're just going to preach and scream about fire, but we're actually going to teach. I want to teach you some things about this morning. I want to help equip you with the gift of the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit as well. Pentecost, and what happens on the day of Pentecost is heaven responding to surrendered, praying, and expectant people. And so the truth is this, we're not going to apologize for what Scripture talks about this morning. We're going to just talk about what Scripture talks about, and I'm going to dissect some of it, and I encourage you to lean in today. Now, here's a truth that some of us don't like. Sometimes heaven's response requires us waiting. Anybody like to wait? No. No. Nobody's just like, okay, if you think you like to wait, go to the busiest restaurant this afternoon, and whatever wait time they give you, just be like, oh, I'm so thankful I get to sit down right here where everyone else is and wait for my table. Nobody wants to wait. Nobody enjoys the waiting seasons. Nobody's like, oh, yay, another time to wait. But hear me, what I find interesting is what happens before Pentecost is an instruction from Jesus, and the instruction Jesus gives is wait. Look at somebody say, wait for it. So three people know what I'm talking about in this place. Wait for it. Okay. Anyways, still nobody gets it. It's okay, Hamilton. Luke 24:49 says this. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that word tarry means wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are what? Endued with power from on high. This is an instruction from Jesus given to the disciples. This word tarry means to wait. We don't like waiting. This is why we DoorDash food. Because it would take too long to go get in the car, wait in the drive-thru, get our food, drive back to where we were, and eat. We would rather just keep doing what we're doing so we're not focusing on our wait, and then we'll just get our food and we'll eat. We'll pay extra for prime shipping or whatever. We'll pay extra for one-day shipping because we don't want to have to wait. It feels like persecution whenever we have to wait. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We'll microwave things because 30 seconds feels too long, so I can microwave it in 15 seconds. 30 minutes takes too long to make this. You know, you get like a frozen meal and on the instructions, like you could bake this for 30 minutes or you can microwave it for 30 seconds. And we choose the microwave 9 times out of 10 because it's a quicker, more instant gratification. We live in an instant culture that does not like to wait. We want instant answers, instant vengeance, instant gratification, instant dopamine, instant offense as well. Instant all these things, yet Jesus tells his disciples, wait. Think for a second. These are not random people. These are his disciples. They walked with him. They saw miracles. They saw the miraculous. They heard the teaching. They even witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus still tells them, go wait. I think sometimes we want to circumvent waiting because we think we should already have whatever we want. And so we would rather live in a way that's always like, gimme, 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 rather than when the Lord says, hey, just wait for a second. And we will wear ourselves out doing because we never waited to receive power. Meaning this, I'm going to write this down. Kingdom assignment without kingdom power creates exhausted Christians. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't know what in the world my kingdom assignment is. Here's the truth. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you have a kingdom assignment. Every single person, every believer has a kingdom assignment. Your kingdom assignment is to be an image bearer of Christ. Some of you may have a fivefold ministry gifting on you. Some of you may not. Some of you may be anointed and gifted in the way of business. Some of you may be anointed and gifted in the way of hospitality, whatever it looks like. Hear me, no matter what, if you call on Jesus, there is a kingdom assignment. And kingdom assignment without receiving the power of the Holy Spirit will create an exhausted Christian. And even for us in this room, maybe you say, Pastor, I don't fit in any of those. If you got kids and you're raising kids in the year 2026, you have a kingdom assignment. Can I get an amen? Okay. That was weak, church, because obviously you view your kids as brats, not as kingdom assignment. Huh? Your kids are a gift from the Lord, is what Scripture says. Huh? That means if they're a gift from the Lord, you are called to take care of them. And guess what? Your trauma-induced self cannot take care of your kids the way that you know you need to without the power of the Spirit of God coming in and healing those areas and giving you the strength, the grace, the mercy, the power to do that. It's a kingdom assignment. And the reason you feel wore out all the time when trying to raise your kids, yes, it's exhausting. I know, I got three boys. It's exhausting at times. I'm tired at times. But the truth is this, where my human strength messes up, where I fall short, where I am weak, the Spirit of God in me can strengthen me, can bridle my tongue, can bring a better word, can help bring peace to them, help bring peace to my heart. So hear me today. If you're in this room and you're trying to break cycles, generational curses, let me let you in on something. You need the Spirit of God to interrupt in the area of generational curses. The Spirit, put it to you like this, the Spirit of God is the stick that gets thrown into the cogs that are in the wheel that are keeping the cycles going, and it will break the cogs of the generational curses and start a new way, a new line. It's a kingdom assignment. You're trying to fight temptation. Guess what? That's a kingdom assignment. You're trying to forgive people. Guess what? That's a kingdom assignment. Whether you believe this or not, you're trying to stay mentally healthy. That's a kingdom assignment. Especially when you look around at things that may be going on in your life or in the world today, you go, whew, there's a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah, I need the Spirit of God to help keep me sane sometimes. If the Spirit of God don't keep me sane, I'm going to be saying some things. Because just like the Spirit of God can give you words to say, He can give you the spiritual shut up that you need sometimes. Huh? The Spirit of God is not always loud. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's shut your mouth, don't say another thing. Hold your tongue. God never intended you to live a supernatural faith with natural strength. You need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So waiting is not punishment. Maybe you grew up in a life that, in a household that used time out, and now waiting feels like punishment. It's not punishment. That's not the way of the Lord. He is preparing you. He's strengthening you in those moments and getting you ready for what He is about to release. Because prayer is the posture, or say this, the proper prayer posture will position us for His promise. A proper prayer posture, meaning that learning how to approach God, which we've been talking about over the last 5 weeks, the Lord's Prayer, practicing that in a posture of our heart. Whenever we get to that, it will position us in alignment to receive the promise of His Spirit. I'm not saying it will position you to receive the promise of whatever you want. I'm saying it will put you in a place to receive the posture, and the posture will put you in a place to receive the power of the Spirit. Meaning this. Okay. We're just talking about like raising kids, right? Or maybe whatever your own situation is you're going through in this, as you're relating to this message. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, I know that I can posture my heart to the Lord. Lord, I need you in this place. Father, I acknowledge you, first of all. And I can go through the heart posture of prayer, as we've been talking about. And what I really want is for my kids to not do what they just did. Here's the truth. They're children. Right? Follow me for a second. That's what I want. But the Lord knows what I need. So when I posture my and position myself properly in prayer, the Lord will give me the power with the things that I need, that I need to help those around me, not fix everyone else's problems. He fixes me as I posture myself. This is why it's interesting in Scripture when we read in Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. We read that and go, man, I'm getting whatever I want as long as I say Jesus. No. What I find even interesting about the disciples, If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll find out after Jesus tells them to go and wait in Jerusalem, they go and do that. Them and their families. They're in the upper room. And you know what they're doing? Waiting. One accord, one place, praying and waiting. Now, I'm going to be really vulnerable and honest. And here's the truth. Sometimes I don't want to come to church. Man, a pastor is telling you he doesn't want to come to church. Yeah. I empathize with you on some Sundays whenever you're like, it's raining out this morning. It's a three-day weekend today. And I mean, I don't want to go to church. I'm going somewhere with it. Stay with me. But whenever I show up and I follow what the word has called me to do, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some of those, blah, 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 go on scripture-wise. I continue to practice this in my life. I position myself in a place that I can receive a refreshing. Because the truth is, most of the time, the reason you don't want to come is because there's something going on in your life, and that's the reason. You're tired, you're exhausted, you're depressed, you're anxious, whatever it is. It's normally not just because, don't really want to today. Normally, there's an underlying reason somewhere in there, right? So my want is, I want to stay in bed. But whenever I follow the Lord and I posture myself correctly, I say this, that may be my want, but my desire is to follow you in whatever you say, and I will do just that. You got to think for a second. There could have been, I'm not preaching this as doctrine, so just follow me for a second though. There could have been some of those that went to the upper room that were like, how much longer are we going to wait here? Okay. You said you were going to show up. Did you ghost us? You leave us on red? You got to think for a second. If there were children there, which there likely were, if there's any kids there, they're going, can we leave now? Can we leave now? Can we leave? The disciples were like, quit. We're praying. I've seen some of y'all with your kids at Flow Night. Okay? I can tell you right now, if I told my kids, hey, boys, we're going to have to go to the church. They're going to ask me, this is going to be the answer. How long? Till the Lord shows up? You know what their answer is going to be? Are you kidding me? Why do I go to the church again? Not because they don't love the church, not because they don't want to be here. It's because they're kids. And I'll be honest with you, on the inside, I'm probably going, Lord, how long am I going to have to be there? I like my sleep. Yet, what's interesting is their greatest heart's desire becomes whatever his desire is. And his desire is to endue them with power by the way of the Holy Spirit. And so they may submit their wants for what his desire is for them, because they recognize that his desire will bring greater fulfillment than their wants. Somebody needs to get that today, and you need to hear that. That the desire that the Lord has for you will bring greater things than the thing that you may want right now. That's because of this. The Holy Spirit is a multiplier. He multiplies effectiveness. He multiplies strength. He multiplies unity. He multiplies in all these different ways. And so what you thought was really great in your wants, whenever you actually receive God and the Spirit of God and the power of God, there's a multiplication of strength and grace and joy and peace, and all these things begin to show up within our lives. Now, I want to balance this with this. I was kind of talking about this in a moment, about delighting yourself in the Lord. The balance is this. Prayer does not manipulate God. Prayer does not twist heaven's arm. Prayer does not make God say, wow, they prayed hard enough today, I'll give them what they asked for. I don't know about you, you may have grew up in a church that said, pray a little more. Just pray a little bit harder. Maybe the Lord will hear you. Why don't you yell a little bit louder? We often, in the church sometimes, we sound like the prophets of Baal whenever, and with Elijah whenever. They're saying, why don't you just pray? And Elijah's saying, why don't you just pray a little louder? Maybe your God will hear you. And we've let that come from pulpits in the church. Not talking about a false God, they're talking about God. Do you see this today? We misrepresent God when we tell people, why don't you just pray a little bit harder about it? No, don't get me wrong. We need a prayer life. You need to be steadfast in prayer. Continue to pray about that situation. You never give up praying just because you don't see what you've been praying for. But hear me. No, I just want to say this. Whenever you pray, it doesn't just make God go, oh, wow, they're being louder today. Oh, they prayed with a few more eloquent words today. Oh, this. Now I'll do this. No, the Lord knows what you have need of, and he brings that into fruition in his perfect time. The truth is this. You may think you're ready for stuff that you ain't ready for, but the Lord knows that you ain't ready for it. And we don't like that. Because we would rather just get what we want when we want. Now, we've talked the last 6 weeks, or 5 weeks now, 6 weeks, however many weeks it's been, about the posture of prayer. And that has taught us. Now the day of Pentecost preaches to us, and it preaches to us this. When surrendered people position themselves before heaven, heaven responds. When surrendered people position themselves before heaven, heaven responds. I'm going to read to you Acts 2 real quickly. This is the account of the day of Pentecost. This is the birthing of the church as we know it. Because after this, the church becomes strong and begins to see people saved. They begin to minister to those around them. They begin to sell their own things and give to those around them. They begin to show love, compassion, mercy, all these things. It says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts 2 and 1, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I don't know about you, but that probably freaked the mess out of me. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. And as it says, as a fire, there's a whole teaching I could do on that. I don't have time this morning. I believe I've taught on it before, but as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the what? Spirit, not enthusiasm, not a magical moment, none of those things, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. As you go down in the text, this is the response. If you have a paper Bible, the top of my, where it gives you kind of what's about to happen next, says the crowd's response, which I find interesting that there is a response from the world as a byproduct of the birthing of the Spirit. Can I tell you this? A church that really, this is good. It's ain't on the screen. A church that really will flow with the Spirit, there will be a response from the world. And what's interesting is there's some that question, because there will be people who question, and there are some that are drawn near. But every single one gets the opportunity to hear the gospel. Everyone gets the opportunity. If you are really a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church, you will not cut off people from the gospel. You will introduce people to the gospel through the Spirit of God. And so the crowd's response, it goes on, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. In other words, all different kinds of people. And it goes on, they're all speaking their own language. They're looking at each other, well, doesn't this person speak this? And doesn't this person speak this? Aren't they from this place? Aren't they from that place? And verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And then there's some that were looking and mocking, and they were saying, oh, they're full of that good wine. Huh? These men are drunk. In verse 15, Peter stands up and says, for these are not drunk as you suppose. And I love this. Since it's only the third hour of the day. In other words, this is where 5 o'clock somewhere came from. since it's only 5 o'clock somewhere, not quite. It's not even that. We're not even to that point yet. It's only the third hour of the day. There's no way these people are drunk. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on what? All flesh is what scripture says. I'm going to stop right there. You can read all of Acts 2 later if you so desire. But I kind of want to paint a picture for you in this, that the Spirit of God shows up in an upper room, right? Pentecost happens. People speak in other tongues, and from that place, they don't become spiritual gluttons. Hear me today. If our celebration of Pentecost creates spiritual gluttons, we have missed what Pentecost actually was. What Pentecost is the birthing of the Spirit for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It is putting people in the seats of the fivefold ministry to help equip the saints so that they can go out and speak the language. Hear me out today. The Spirit of God indwelling you and giving you power, yes, it is. Part of it is the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit. If you don't know what it's about, I'm going to teach you just a little bit more about it in just a few minutes, but it can be turned on and turned off. And then I can go back into English language just like that. It is a devotional gift whenever I function it that way. It's not a manifestation gift. This is a devotional gift. Whenever I begin to pray and intercede in the Spirit, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. It is not just about Shetaraya Kataba. It is also about, Lord, give me the words to speak of wisdom to somebody that I come into contact with. That is just as important as it is for me to go Reya Katarabah. Just that power is great, but I also need the power that helps develop the fruits of the Spirit within me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those also have to be developed, and you cannot develop those through your own strength. Those are developed through the power of the Spirit. Yeah. Okay, are you with me? So, they gather, they're in one court, one place. Suddenly, Holy Spirit fills the room, and they begin to pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Notice it's not emotional hype gives them utterance. Not as peer pressure gives them utterance. Not as manipulation gives them utterance, but the Spirit gives them, not that a perfect crescendoed music piece gives them utterance. And I said this a little bit in the first service, and I'll say it again. The church has become excellent at manipulating moments through sounds that come from a stage. Meaning this, if we play the right song, if we play it in the right key, if we speak the language, or someone say this, of emotions, the people, that'll push on some buttons. Anybody ever been, music's a very powerful thing. In the near future, I'm going to do a whole series on worship, and we'll actually get into the science side, because y'all know me, I like that side of things, so you can understand where theology and some studies come together to create a beautiful symphony for us to enjoy, but also to know how to use the word properly inside of where we live today. Eventually, I'll get to this to where I'll teach a little bit on this idea of the psychology behind music and what it does even to the human brain. But I'll give it to you like this. Anybody ever felt sad before and then a song comes on in like in a minor key? Anybody know what a minor key is? It's one of those songs that feel sad. Those sad songs come on and all of a sudden you're like, why is it someone cutting onions in this room right now? It's raining on my face, isn't it? Tears start flowing. Like, why am I even crying? Well, because music has a beautiful way, and it's the way God created it, okay? I believe that, yes, music can be used as a vehicle to get, understand what I say this, into the right atmosphere of worship and to experience His presence. It can also be used in a way to manipulate people to do what you want. And I don't like that. We don't operate that way. We want authentic Spirit moving. If the Spirit can't move with no music, then the Spirit can't move in the place that we're in. I'm going to say that again. If next week I say, you know what? No music. We're just going to sing together. If the Spirit can't move in the midst of that, are we really experiencing a moving of the Spirit of God? Or are we experiencing excitement because music sounds good? Now, don't get me wrong. Once again, it can be a beautiful vehicle. It can absolutely take us to the Holy of Holies. Absolutely, I believe this. I believe that music has an anointing to do things. We see this scripturally with David playing the harp for Saul, and he's delivered, right? So we know that there's power in music also spiritually whenever we utilize it correctly. What I'm addressing right now, though, is what Scripture's not saying. It doesn't say as the Spirit or as the music plays, the Spirit shows up. No, it says as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit shows up either way. And Pentecost was not random. What's interesting here is Jerusalem's filled with every tribe, tongue, and nation, basically. There's different languages represented, different backgrounds, different cultures. And suddenly, there's a reversal of what happened at Babel. If you know the story of the Tower of Babel, Babel is humanity gathers in pride to make a name for themselves instead of honoring God. So God confuses the language. And what once unified people now becomes a source of division amongst people. Now we see at Pentecost, pride fractured that area, but now the Spirit of God comes and heals that area and brings unity and restoration in that area. At Babel, language became a division through self-exaltation, but at Pentecost, language became mission through surrender. So Babel is a place where people were scattered, but Pentecost was a place where people were gathered to Jesus. And I believe that as a church who believes in the Spirit of God moving and functioning and operating in the church, we ought to be a church that is uniting people to Jesus, not rejecting people from pride. Amen. Not cutting people off just from a spirit of pride. Yeah. The fire fell in that room, yes, but it was never meant to stay in that room because Pentecost was not about just a cool church experience. Pentecost is about an empowered witness. Now, don't get me wrong. We have lights. We play loud music. We do, you know, we do events, we do different things like that. I love the church. I love how we can operate and function and have a good time together as a family. I love that. But hear me today. If it ever becomes more about that than it does the things of the Spirit, we are off course. Yeah. Come on. That's right. And we are no longer bringing glory to the Lord. We can no longer say, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen. Because the truth is, our prayer is, yours is the kingdom-ish. We share some power. And I kind of want a little bit of glory forever, amen. That's the end of the Lord's Prayer, by the way. After our posture, that's how Jesus teaches us to pray here. It was not about just a cool church experience. It's about an empowered witness. Acts 1:8 says this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Notice here, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's great. We all get excited about that. And a lot of churches stop there. A lot of people stop there. We want the power of the Spirit without the work of the Spirit. Because what comes on the end of, on the tail end of that is this, and you'll be witnesses. As a result of receiving power, you now become a witness. Hear me. If you want the power, get ready to be a witness. I don't mean just in church. I mean outside the church. If you are coming in the church saying, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit, but your life is not being a witness, I'm going to question a few things about how great you're actually, or so it says, how closely you're actually following and actually asking the power of His Spirit to move in your life. If your life looks different outside of here and you're living a totally different life that leads nobody to Jesus, what do you really want the power of the Spirit for? I'm going to let you in on something. There's a few different reasons. One, you want it just because you want to feel strong. Two, you want to feel better than those that are around you. Pride. Three, because, well, if I don't, what will people think of me? If you want the power, then the witness should also be there. You should be witnessing to those around you, telling people about Jesus. If you go read Acts 2, that's what happens. They go and they speak the language of those that are around them. So you may say, I don't know, maybe you're not like me. Probably not. But I'm like this. If you've ever been in a meeting with Pastor Chelsea and I sit and I'm quiet. Pastor Chelsea and I, the way that we function and operate in the power of the Spirit look different. And I'm thankful for that. Because she can go into that meeting and she's like, boom, 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 boom. Listens, good response. Listens, wise response. I'm sitting there going, and the people that are sitting across the way are going, what is he thinking? He knows all my sins. He knows everything I've ever done wrong. So normally I'll say after about 20 minutes, I'll go, or 30, and be like, so this is what I'm thinking. This is what I feel. And I balance it with like, just so you know, like, this is just the way that I ask the Holy Spirit to give me power to speak the language that you need to hear so that it witnesses to your spirit. The truth is this, probably everybody in this room speaks English. But we may have different words that mean different things to us. Meaning this, some of us may hear Father in this room and we feel hurt. Some of us may hear Father in this room and we feel overjoyed. Some of us may hear help in this room and we're excited about it. Some of us may hear the word help in this room and we struggle with that. Okay, I'm going somewhere. This is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. It can bridle your tongue and it can speak whenever it needs to speak. It can give you the words to utter, to speak to people, to bring forth a better word within their life. It's basically the spirit of prophecy. Because you begin to testify of Jesus. You begin to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to them. And now there's a prophetic fulfillment that is happening from the gift of the Spirit that is within you. Now, when you read that in Acts 1 and 8, I'm going to come back to that in a second. When you read that in Acts 1 and 8, because I didn't realize what time it is, I need to close. You'll receive power. Power equals dunamis. That's a Greek word, which equals miracle working ability, which equals supernatural empowerment. This matters because the Holy Spirit was not given to make us weird, strange, goofy. Okay? I've been in some churches. I'm like, what are we doing right now? I'm pretty sure the Lord's looking and going, what are they doing right now? Sometimes we just want to slap. Okay. I'm going to go here for a second. Some of us freak out about someone saying, oh my God. You know? Oh my God. They'll finish the word. And I'm like, oh, how dare you take the Lord's name in vain that way? Hear me, if that's your conviction, that's what you believe. Sure. Don't think we should just be taking the Lord's name in vain. It's interesting, though, that we'll slap the Lord's name on a lot of things that he's not in. And we don't think twice about that being something that takes. That is just as much, if not more, taking the Lord's name in vain, saying the Lord is in something that he has no agreement with, than it is even you saying, oh my God. So what I'm saying is, I think I've been in some places, I'm like, what are we doing right now? This is not spiritual. This is silly. Listen. I've talked to some people before that I'm like, not everything's a supernatural demon. Not everything is crazy. Some things are just going on. But hear me, the Holy Spirit's not given to us to make us weird or to make us impressive. He's not given to us so we can collect spiritual experiences. He's given to us so that we can have a supernatural power, power to witness, power to endure, power to pray, power to overcome, power to live differently. And here's the truth. Some believers absolutely have access to God. They know the Lord's Prayer. They access the Lord that way. They're saved, yeah. They're loved by God, yes. Going to heaven, sure. Spiritually running on fumes, constantly. And that's what happens when we try to live in the spiritual, a supernatural faith, but in a natural strength. We come back to the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. I said this a moment ago, but you know, some people have mishandled the truth of the gift of the Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues. Some people have abused the truth of the power of His Spirit or manipulated it or misused it. But let me give you this real quickly. Someone else mishandling something biblical does not make the biblical thing untrue. Right? Someone else using it incorrectly does not mean that we throw it out and that it's untrue. People abuse money. Are you going to go get rid of all your money? No. You're not going to go get rid of all your money because it doesn't make money evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, but it doesn't make money evil. Some people abuse leadership, but we're not going to say, you know what, we should have no leadership in anything anymore. No, because that's going to create chaos, craziness. Some people abuse marriage. That doesn't mean that we just throw marriage out the window and go, let's just have flings everywhere. Some people abuse the spiritual gifts, and that does not make the Holy Spirit dangerous. But it does mean that the church needs to get educated. And the people of God need to be educated on the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and what it actually is and what it should look like in the church. I'll give you this educational thought real quickly. Jesus gives us in John 16:14. It says, He will glorify me. When He says He here, He's talking about the Spirit. So when He says this, He's saying, whatever happens in the way of the Spirit will bring glorification to the Father. So if what we're doing in, as we're labeling it, Spirit, does not bring glory to the Lord, then it's not Spirit. The Spirit will always bring glory to the Father. That is the assignment. The Spirit moving in you is to glorify Jesus. So if it makes a lot of you or makes a lot of man but makes little of Christ, it is not the Spirit. It'll make big of Jesus and make small of you. You will decrease, so He will increase. That is the Spirit of God moving within you. Hear me, the fire was never meant to make us famous. It was meant to make Jesus known. Amen? Now, all this sounds really powerful, sounds great. And some people in this room are tired. Some people are grieving, struggling. Some of us are fighting anxiety, all these things. And we've talked about the Lord's Prayer, but sometimes words fall short. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you just don't know what to say next. Anybody know? You're in that place, struggling, frustrated. What I love about the Lord is He does not leave us empty-handed. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Or up here on the screen, I'm going to read it for you from the NKJV. Likewise, the Spirit who helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hear me, there are times to say, I don't know what to say. And that's where the Spirit of God praying in heavenly language, in tongues, comes into play. I know I can go in this room right now and around this room and people in this room will give testimony of times you've been going through something, you've been struggling, you've been sad, frustrated, anxious, depressed, whatever it may be, raising kids, hard times at work, maybe a difficult time in your marriage, whatever it is, and you don't know what else to say, and all of a sudden you just begin to pray in the Spirit for those that have the gift of tongues, which by the way is for everyone. We're going to talk about it as I close. You begin to pray in your spirit language, and there is an encouragement that begins to happen in your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You begin to feel joy, peace. These things begin to overflow within you. That is tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can even begin to encourage ourselves. As Paul talks about, that tongues is even for us as we begin to pray. It's for you as you begin to edify yourself in prayer. So let's talk about this just for a second. Because some of us have questions this morning. Because as soon as you heard tongues, you went, oh God. Oh no. Oh God, help us. Some of you went, okay, this is one of those churches. Not coming back here. I still love you, it's okay. But I do ask that you just listen just for a second, because I want to dismantle a couple arguments that you've had against this. I'm not even saying you need to receive it today. I do believe it's for everyone. I believe it is for you. If you call the name of the Lord, you can receive the gift of speaking in your heavenly language. I believe it's for everyone. Paul even says that as well. But let's answer a couple of those questions, because that's the first one that most people have. Is the praying in the Spirit, the gift of tongues, the power of the Spirit, evidence speaking in other tongues, is it for everybody? That's a great question, and I'll go and give you scripturally, yes. Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39 says this, then Peter said to them, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is talking about the baptism, meaning that Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is the rebirth of your spirit. So baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall, on the heels of this, so you got to do that first. Now you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. That sounds pretty broad, I understand, but it also sounds like believers. Not just pastors. It's not just for me. It's not just for people flow in the fivefold ministry. Not for the elite Christians or whoever you think are elite Christians. Not just for the super spiritual, super people. No, this is for you. So meaning this, the gift of tongues is for the believer. Amen? That means if you're a believer, it is for you. I'll give you more backing on that. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians, Paul's addressing a lot of things going on in the church. And the truth is this, we have read it and made it what we want. We've read it incorrectly, and we've wanted what we want out of the scripture, and we don't even understand the context of what Paul's talking about often. But if you read contextually in scripture, it really dismantles a lot of arguments that are still going on in the church today. Paul says this, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, that sounds like Paul's bragging a little bit. Paul's like, but notice, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. More means it's happening in others. More than you all. So Paul's not only saying this should be a normal thing for us to do, but it's for everyone. 1 Corinthians 14:39, Paul says this, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Paul is once again speaking here. This seems pretty straightforward, right? Paul brings this admiration to us. It brings this encouragement to us to pray in tongues, to not forbid it. But Paul also brings balance to the public operation of tongues. And this is where our second question comes to. And maybe you grew up in this, and you're not wrong necessarily for this, but let me bring balance. We have believed that for every time we pray in the gifts of the Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues, that there has to be an interpretation to follow. We pull that from 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 26. We're not going to read all that right now. But when you do read it, if you do, Paul is contrasting the gift of tongues versus the gift of prophecy. And there's two different kinds of tongues. There is devotional tongues and there's manifestation tongues. Devotional tongues means what you do. I pray for myself. I'm praying when I don't know what else to pray. I'm praying. This devotion that I'm doing. Manifestation gift of tongues is whenever the gift is in operation, meaning that it does need to have an interpreter that goes alongside with it. Meaning this, if someone is going to get up on stage and pray nothing, meaning this, if we're in a moment where the Lord's moving, the Spirit's being poured out, and someone gets up on the microphone and begins to shete and anamaya kataboy and begins to prophesy over us in tongues, there should be an interpretation that is given with that. If someone is leading the service and said, hey, let's all for a moment, if you have your prayer language, let's pray together. We are into devotional tongues, and together collectively we are praying in tongues in the devotional language and manifestation of it. Does everybody understand that, okay? So if it were wrong for us to all pray in tongues at the same time, which is another thing that people get caught up on, then it would have been wrong at the day of Pentecost. It would have been wrong at the church at Ephesus if you go study that too. Now, once again, I believe if you started just praying in tongues out loud over everybody, then there needs to be an interpretation of that. I also believe some people have done that and the Spirit was not in it. You were just practicing your devotional tongue in the midst of what was happening because, well, I won't get into all of it right now. But sometimes people do that. The next question that some people have is this. Well, it says, we believe in biblical order. Glory will follow order. But Scripture does not, listen, we will not forbid what Scripture does not forbid. Does that make sense? We're not going to forbid tongues because Scripture actually tells us the other. Says, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Okay? So we don't forbid it in this church, but we believe in order in this church. Another question that we have often is, well, hasn't it passed away? Isn't it done? Isn't it gone? I would simply say this, that your argument or your viewpoint gets very shaky and falls real quickly if we actually read in context. The scripture we pluck that from is where we see that love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. It also goes on to say, where there's knowledge, it'll pass away. So if tongues has passed away, so is knowledge, by the context that you're bringing to this conversation. So, no, I do not believe that tongues have passed away, and we have seen and I have experienced the power of the Spirit whenever praying in other tongues. Two more things. Another big argument that maybe you've heard before is that tongues are merely the result of an overwhelming emotional experience. We've kind of already tackled this a little bit, but just a reminder, Acts 2 and 4. The Spirit gave them utterance, is what the Scripture says, okay? Not an experience, not an emotion, but the Spirit gave them utterance. And the last thing is this, we talked about earlier. When your mama said, tongues of the devil, Bobby Boucher. Okay, if that's what you were taught, let me dismantle it just for a second. And this one might be the one that I can see maybe where you're pulling at things on the other ones, but let me just, this one is the most out there to me. Because Paul clearly says in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 5, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Okay, pause. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. If it is from the devil, El Diablo, why in the world would the devil give you a language that only speaks to God? Why in the world would the enemy work in such a way? Guess what? He wouldn't, because it's from the Lord. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for the strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themself. Or, hear me, he who speaks in tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Keep going. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Okay. So once again, we're seeing the balance of the manifestation gift, the devotional gift. And I believe that you can absolutely speak to God in your prayer language. Here's a question. Why would the devil cause you to do something that would edify yourself? Why would the devil want you to speak to God? So if that's been the theology that your mind's been wrapped around, that collapses very quickly by a few scriptures, right? So all of that this morning to say this. That I want you to understand. I'm not saying you need to receive it today or you have to receive it today. I know in this moment we could get the band up here and we could play some perfect music and, man, I could probably get people to come forth that haven't received the gift. But I don't want to do it that way. I want you to come to this revelation because I've learned this. I think I've learned this over my years is that, yes, there are times and moments of a fresh outpouring baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, where it's exciting. There's an altar call and all this. But sometimes we just need to sit with some things and let the revelation of Scripture wash over us so we can step into that gifting in an easier way. I've seen people who have desired to pray in tongues and so on and so forth, and there's been the wait. It's not time, wait. And then I've seen moments where we've had, in this church even, altar calls. People come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, been baptized in just a moment, and there's some people that have had to come back. I don't know why or how it happens the way that it happens. I just know that it is real. I've experienced it. People in this room have experienced it. I live in it. It's a discipline and a practice, and I believe it will empower you. So on this Pentecost Sunday, let me give you this. If this promise is for believers, if this promise strengthens, if this promise empowers, if this promise helps when words fall, if this promise is available, then the question is this, why would you leave, though, continuing to not desire that? So my encouragement to you today is as you leave this place, here in a moment, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up here. And if you want to receive the gift today, they'll pray with you. Absolutely. Our prayer teams will pray with you this prayer. But first of all, you got to be saved. That's the first thing. You got to be saved. Follow Jesus. After that, man, the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in other tongues, is for you, friend. But you can't let doubt in. You know, one thing I'll give this real quickly. I said the first service, and then I'll have you stand. I've heard people go, well, you're just making up gibberish. I think what my answer is going to be to that for now on, Mr. Bruce, is this. Go ahead, pray in tongues. Because it's funny that the people who mock it, anybody ever seen it like portrayed in a movie in a mocking way where people are making fun of prayer? They sound ridiculous. It's because the Spirit can bear witness with the Spirit. So when Mr. Bruce begins to shetaya raya na namakabo, I know it's authentic because the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit. Because it's a real thing. And it's funny, I've heard people go, well, you're just going no, I'm not. There's a language that's coming forth for me. My language doesn't sound like a lawnmower that can't start. My lawnmower gets going. Huh? And it's shetaraya nanabokeya tarasatebe. And the interesting thing is this, for those of you who maybe you haven't experienced this yet, I'm going to let you know something. You may not sound like the other people you've heard pray in tongues before. You want to know how it started for me? And it's just like an English language. It expands. You know, I'll give you this. I say one more thing. It's some things you can't make up. And I've seen and heard the stories of people who have prayed in the Spirit, speaking to people that didn't even speak the same language as them. And I don't mean a figurative language. I mean an actual language. They would speak the same language. And as they begin to pray in the Spirit, they actually begin to speak in the language, edification, exhortation, comfort to the person that speaks a different language. You can't make that up, friend. I believe in the power of the Spirit. In this church, we believe in the power of the Spirit. And yes, you can absolutely come to church here, never receive that gift. But let me just tell you something. Man, I want, as your pastor, as a leader in the city, I want you to receive of everything that the Lord has for you. And part of that is the gift of the power of a Spirit, edification through speaking in tongues and your prayer language. I believe this gift helps you because I have experienced the help that it brings into my life, the strength that it brings into my life, and I've experienced what it brings into others. So today, if you say, Pastor, I want to receive that gift, we're going to have a prayer team. We can get a couple teams up here if we need to, if people respond. But once again, first of all, you got to be saved. After that, get rid of doubt, and then step out. Say, Lord, I want to receive this free gift. It's for you today, friend. It's for anyone who may call on it. I believe it's for you. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? Will you lift your hands to the Lord? I want to pray over us. I'm going to ask our prayer teams to go make themselves available. Keep those hands lifted. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray a blessing on them. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Lord, I just thank you right now that you give us power. In the waiting, you give us power. In the doing, you give us power. Lord, you've equipped us with your power. Father, I thank you that right now there's a fresh baptism of your Spirit right now. Even in this room, a fresh strength, a fresh grace. I thank you, Lord, for those that desire the gift of tongues, praying in tongues. I thank you, Lord, that you've already given the gift freely, so, Lord, we receive it today. Lord, I thank you for those in this room that are already practicing. Lord, help us make it a greater discipline in our life to turn to the power source in times of struggles and issues. Help us turn to the Holy Spirit. Help us pray the prayers that we can't groan in our own words. Help us, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for that right now. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We give God a hand clap. Amen today, church. Amen.